21st Psalm. A familiar Psalm, 121. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth and even forevermore. Thank God, thank God. Now I want you to know that the Psalms is really the songbook of the Hebrews. David wrote many of them, almost half of them maybe, but we don't know exactly how many, but close to a half no doubt. But this is the hymn book for the Hebrews, the children of God. And it's believed that this group of Psalm, that where 121 is a part of, was a particular section when they would sing songs as they were making their way to Jerusalem, to the capital city, for the feast days. When they were going back to Jerusalem for the Passover, or for the Feast of the First Fruits, or for the Day of Atonement, or whatever it might be, that they would be singing these songs as they went up to Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was set upon a hill, Mount Moriah. There in the city of David, called Mount Zion. And they would go up and they would be singing as they made their way to the temple there in Jerusalem. And this psalm, particular psalm, is one of encouragement. And over the years, it's proven a blessing to so many people, and no doubt you as well as with so many others. And yet, sometimes when you're going through a trial or going through a difficulty and not sure maybe which way to go or what to do, I'm glad for the psalm because it is there. It's been a blessing to us. It's been an encouragement to us. And when there's an accident or when there's a loss of a job or when there's difficulty or when there's a family member or a loved one that's passed away, I'm glad that this psalm is there to just give us encouragement. The question is often asked, when folks are faced with problems and trials and troubles, what is the answer? To whom will we go and what can I do? And here it seems the writer of the psalm was experiencing such a time, and he said in that first verse, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, I want to explain something. When he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and maybe I'll mention some more of this as we go along, but in the time of trouble, in the time of adversity, and in time of heartache, and let me just ask a question tonight, and you don't even have to raise your hands. Have there been such times in your life? Have there been times of difficulty? Have there been times when it seemed as if everything was going the wrong way? You prayed and seemed like nothing was working out. You wondered where God was. You knew in your heart that He still loved you and He's there. But you pray and you pray and you cry and you cry and seem as if He's not there. The psalmist said, I will, in times like that, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And remember, if you will, when he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, it's on that hill where the temple of God was, yonder in Jerusalem. And in that temple was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat. And upon the mercy seat was the Ark of the Covenant. And in that Ark, the Bible tells me, God said, I will make myself known, and my presence will be there. And when they looked to the hill, when they looked to the mountain, when they looked to the temple, when they looked there in Jerusalem, they were looking to the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, where the Lord's presence was real. And I want you to know tonight, His presence is still real. Look unto Him. Praise God. I'm going to read a scripture or two from the book of Isaiah, the second chapter. I have it marked. I'm going to read the first four verses. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What is the prophet saying? Isaiah is saying there's coming a time in the millennial reign, hallelujah, when people are going up to Jerusalem to hear what God has to say. During the millennial time, the law of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem, and the people will worship God in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah said, not only is His presence in the temple of God, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of Covenant, but listen to this. He said it's going to forever be there. Forever. God's presence. Amen. Amen. And now the psalmist is saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And then he goes on to say, He is the Creator of all things. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to look to the Creator that made heaven and earth. I'm going to look to the omnipotent God who has all power. Hallelujah. And I thought that's a wonderful choice to make. That's a good decision to make, to look to God. Whatever you're going through in life, and we've all been there, and some are there tonight going through a difficult time in various ways, in sickness and heartache and the rest. But look unto God. He is the answer. That is a wise choice for anybody at any time in their lives to look to Him. The Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you, but He said, I will never fail. Right. Have you found that to be true in your life? The Lord has never failed any of us. Right. We ought to rejoice and be glad. Amen. 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 Friends and loved ones might let you down, but you can never go wrong putting your trust in the Almighty God, looking to the Lord, taking your burdens to the Lord and leaving them there. He made all things, the psalmist said. He's the Creator of all things. And I thought, and we were praying for Margaret a while ago, it has broken her wrist in two places, and it is really, from what Joyce said, it's a bad break. Any break is bad. But this is a double break, and they're going to put some pins in it today. She's in surgery as we were beginning the service tonight. But I thought, God made these bodies. He knows everything about these bodies. Don't you know He can take care? Amen, amen. I told you about a young girl who was in an accident in a church we pastored and broke her leg, and they set her leg, and the next night we were at the hospital to visit her, and it'd be hard for me to draw a picture. She's in bed with her leg in a whatever, and with a weight on the end of it. You know how they do with that pulley over there to sort of keep it straight and whatever. And this girl, we prayed, and she said, Daddy, God healed my leg. This is what she was doing. She was leaning over the side of the bed, had a coloring book, and she was coloring on the floor with her leg up yonder in that pulley. This is what she said. Her daddy hadn't been saved very long. She said, Daddy, when are you going to tell them that I'm healed? When are you going to go tell them? I don't need to be here. That same girl was healed from eyes that were almost blinded. She could not hardly see, and God healed her. The next day she went to school without her eyes, those thick eyeglasses. What are you saying, preacher? God made these bodies, and don't you know He knows how to take care of Margaret's wrist tonight? Don't you know He can stand right there and help and take care? He loves us. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I thank God for good doctors. I thank God for medical science. I thank God for all that they do for creation, for mankind. But I'm glad tonight that I can tell you that when doctors have done all that they can do, and they shake their head and say, I've done everything I know to do, I'm glad we still have a God in the heavens. Amen. That's the Creator of all things, and He knows how to take care of His own. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. On a particular occasion, and I mentioned this not long ago in the Old Testament, in the days of King Jehoshaphat, the Bible says the enemy came out to fight against the nation of Israel. And as they came out, Jehoshaphat looked at his troops and looked at the enemy. They were outnumbered so many times over. His men were not prepared for battle. to go against such a crowd. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, God, I'm calling for a fast and for our people to fast and pray. Let me just throw this out there tonight. I still believe that it's God's will. If we'll seek God, if we'll fast and pray, I still believe that He hears and answers prayer. I believe He's able to answer the prayers of the church, not only for healing, but whatever the need might be. He said, I want the congregation, I want the people of Israel to fast and pray. Then the Bible says that the king said these words, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, the enemy? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen, amen. We don't know how we're going to fight the battle. We don't know how we're going to put it into action there. But one thing we're doing, we're looking unto the Lord. We're looking to the great I Am. We're looking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're looking to the Creator. We're looking to the One that's always there. Hallelujah. I'm saying to the church tonight, whatever you do, just keep your eyes on Him. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And the Bible says in that fourth verse, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. I hadn't thought of this. I don't even know where I have a good thought right now, not. But Paul, evidently, when he was writing in the New Testament over there, evidently some Christians had gone to sleep and he said, it's high time to wake up. Aren't you glad? You don't have to knock on the door and knock on the door and knock on the door and say, God, will you please wake up? I need you. We used to sing that song when I was a young boy in church. The Royal Telephone, some of you heard it, you know it. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can talk to Jesus anytime. That's not the way the words go exactly, but that's the gist of it. And I've used this illustration when we didn't have a telephone at our home until I was probably in high school. But we'd go to Grandpa's house down in Carolina. And at Grandpa's house, he had a phone. Grandpa was pretty well a new farmer, and he had one of those ring-up phones that was on the wall. You put it here and ring it and ring it and ring it, and you could just pick it up most any time if somebody's talking. It's what they called a party line. Brother, they were having a party. I think sometimes there were five different families on one line. Some people were nosy. Your ring is two rings, and your neighbor's is three rings, and that person down there is four rings, and somebody rang three times, and it wasn't your ring, but you picked it up just to see what's going on. I want you to know something. His line is a direct line. You can get through any time. In the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you go down to the den or down wherever, go to the bed, go to the living room or wherever and get on your face before God, let me share something with you. He's wide awake. And the line is always open. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I know I'm not up to date on all of this electronic gears and whatever, and I'm just going to share something with you. I do not like call waiting. If you've got it, bless your heart. If I'm talking to somebody, I don't want anybody to butt in. And when somebody's talking to me and say, well, hold on a minute, I'm getting another call, and I try to be just as polite as I possibly can. But I'm saying this tonight, and this is me, just me. I'm glad if somebody calls me and I'm talking to someone else, I want to finish that conversation. And when I go to talk to God, I'm glad there's nobody ringing in on my line. I've got a direct line. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. Hallelujah. Who made the heavens and the earth. What a God we're serving. He'll be there. He's promised. And then in the fifth verse, He said, the Lord is thy keeper. They are comforting words tonight for everyone. He'll be there. He'll take care of us. In the 91st Psalm, and I put that a piece of paper in my Bible so that I could just turn right to it. In the first two verses of the 91st Psalm, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Hallelujah. My trust is in Almighty God, and He is my keeper. Amen, amen. Whatever anyone else does, the Lord is our keeper. Hallelujah. When you get over to the last parts of the Bible, to the book of Jude, He said these words, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." Hallelujah. He's our keeper, and He's going to present us blameless and faultless in the presence of His glory in that day. What He's saying, Brother Jones, the same God that saved me and saved you is able to keep us until that day. You say, "Well, Brother Jones, how is it that anyone misses out and goes astray and doesn't make it all the way after they get saved?" He's able to keep us, but He's not going to keep us against our will. He will keep if we'll let Him. He is our keeper. Then I'm going to read the 6 and 8, 38 verses again. "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth, and even forevermore." Whatever the trial, whatever the trouble might be in our lives tonight, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty anybody might be going through, I encourage everyone here tonight to look up. Look to the Lord. He's the answer. We went to Golden Corral Thursday night. We visit with so many there. Some people that we just have nice fellowship with, and some of them I do not know their names. But we were visiting, and there was a problem. And you could sense there was a problem. And I made mention, I was talking, and I said, "If the Lord will, Sunday night, I plan to preach about looking unto Jesus, getting your eyes on the Lord." And I said to those that were sitting there, and you could sense and know that something was wrong, something was going on, something was not right. And I believe this, and I said it to them, and I said to everyone here, look to Jesus, He's the answer. Whatever comes your way, turn your eyes upon the Lord and lean on Him and trust in Him. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other." There is none else. Look unto me, God says. Look unto me and be ye saved. I believe He's not only talking about salvation. Come to the Lord and be saved from salvation. I believe He's talking about from every situation. Come to me. Look unto me. I'm with you. I love you. I'll take care. I'm glad I look to Him one day. Then on the next page in my Bible, across the page, is the 126th Psalm. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then the Israelites answered, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him." On this page in the 126 Psalms, no doubt, undoubtedly, speaks of the conclusion of the 70 years of captivity of Judah in the land of Babylon. One day there was a news that came forth. They've been there 70 years, and I want you to get a picture tonight. So many of those that were in Babylon had never been to Jerusalem, had never been to the homeland. So many that came out of Jerusalem and Judea in the captivity has died in those 70 years. And now there's a new generation. Some of the old timers are still living. Daniel's still living. But this is a new generation. And they have lived in this captivity all of their lives, many of them. And the news came that now you've been set free, that the king, the new king Cyrus, has signed a decree that you can go back home, you can go back to your homeland. And the Bible says when they heard that news, they began to laugh, and they began to worship, and they began to sing, and it was like a dream coming true. It was almost too much to even believe. Almost too good to be true. The Bible says we were like those that dream. Like those living in a dream, but when they realized it was a reality, it was not a dream, they could go home. Their hearts were filled with laughter and with singing. And the Bible says even the heathen, the Babylonians, were forced to realize and to know that God has blessed these people. Even the unsaved, the ungodly, realized that God is the one that was taking care of and bringing them back home. And then they began to say, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." I want to pause right here. Can you say that tonight? The Lord hath done great things for us. Sometimes they are words that roll off of our tongues. And I don't think we even begin to understand sometimes what we're saying. He has been good to us. Hallelujah. We sing, "Oh, say, but I'm glad, so glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad." How that Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. We sing, "I am blessed, I am blessed." Sometimes I believe they're only words, but I want us to stop. I want us to realize tonight what it means. We are a blessed people. Now, I don't believe it's going to be like what I'm going to say right now, but if God never comes by our way again, never blesses us again, never does anything else for us, He's been good to us. Hallelujah. When I think of where I would be had He not invited me, had He not saved me, I'll tell you something. He was so good to me that He gave me another chance. After I had turned my back on Him, and as I'd gone and I promised Him and promised Him and promised Him, "If you'll do this and if you'll do this and if you'll do this, I'll serve you, Lord." And when God would be so merciful, I would go on my merry way. I want you to know tonight He's been mighty good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as that group was coming out of Babylon, making their way back home, they were singing, laughing, worshiping, praising God, said these words, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." I'll tell you, some of the best times of prayer that I have during the week is right here in the sanctuary. A lot of times on that front bench, I sit for a while and then kneel for a while. But when I begin to think of what God has done and I begin to cry, "Brother, who am I that He could care for me? Who am I that the Lord would be so good to me?" Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we're glad. Are you glad tonight? Why don't you say amen? Amen. 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 I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Hallelujah. 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 When they realized it, they began to sing. They had something to sing about. Hallelujah. Many of them had never known what it was to live in Jerusalem or in Judea. And the Bible says, even the heathen began to say, "The Lord has done something in their lives. I believe God can do such and such a thing in our lives and be so good to us and bless us in such a way that those on the job and those in the neighborhood and our family members can surely say, 'The Lord surely has done something in your life.'" Amen, amen, amen. How many times I thought about that young boy named Billy, or Bobby, I can't remember which it was, that came out of Arkansas to Arizona to visit his sister, and while he was there he got saved. Went with us to camp meeting. Stayed with us about a month or maybe 2 months and went back to Arkansas. Never heard from him again, never saw him again. Just years and years later, and I've told you the story and I'm not going to go through it all now, but there came a time in his life that he married a girl in the Church of God, called a priest, began to preach an evangelist in the Church of God. And I found out all about it, and this is what I want to say right now. He said, "And Brother Jones, it started when I was out there visiting my sister Shirley. When he was about 16 years of age." What he's saying, Brother Jones? In essence, he was saying, "God has surely been good to me. He saved me, and He's kept me, and He's given me a good wife that was a Christian. And we are serving God, and He called me to preach. And I'm a Church of God evangelist in Oklahoma. and East Texas, and God's just been good. And I can say tonight, God has been good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord hath done great things for us. Well, we're glad. And then the 5th and 6th verses of that chapter changes. The story changes. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. In the 4th verse of the streams in the south. Then, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I thought how the story changes in the lesson this morning from Galatians, how that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The lesson of sowing and reaping, of praying and witnessing, reaping a harvest. When writing to the Galatians, Paul tells us, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm not a farmer, but I've got sense enough to know if you sow corn seed, you're going to get corn. If you plant butter bean seed, you're going to get butter beans. If you sow spiritual seed, you're going to reap spiritual benefits. You're going to reap a harvest, the harvest of souls. And I'm going to stop right here and say thank you, church. Doesn't look like we're going to meet it this year. But if the Lord tarries and continues to bless next year, sometime in the year, we're going to hit the $1 million mark in giving to missions. Now, we couldn't meet it this year. We just need some help. But we're getting close. And I wanted to say thank you for your faithfulness in giving to the cause of Christ. There was a time in this church when finances were close. People were praying. People were faithful. People obeyed God. We were able to pay off the property. People that were not even members came and give me money. One man stood at that door and said, Brother Jones, if you need any more, just let me know. Not even a member. I want to say thank you, church, for over the years, your faithfulness in giving tithes and offerings. You are undoubtedly the best tithing church that I know of. I'm not talking about amount of money. I'm talking about faithfulness to tithe. We've got a little boy back there by the name of Matthew that tithes 10 cents every week. Just his regular clockwork. Tithed an envelope with 10 cents on it. He started paying tithes before we could even write his name. But we figured out what his name was when they went to keep the records. And young people, children, young people, teenagers, tithing in this church. I wanted to say tonight out of my heart, thank you. Then I want to thank you for the way that you've given to missions. Almost $1 million from this church. That's hard almost to imagine. But He's a big God. And already in these Christmas catalog gifts, several have already made mention and jotted down what they would like to purchase for Christmas gifts for the needy and given money. And I want to say thank you. God bless you. Every dollar that we give to missions, we try our best as a church board to pick out those ministries that are faithful to God and get the job done and don't waste money, and the money's not used in salaries and administration and all the rest. But the money, the bulk of the money goes for the cause. And I can say tonight that the church board has done well in doing what they've done. And we've just received some letters from that man, that evangelist yonder in Kenya, that asked us on the internet or in our email, sent us an email a month or so ago about if we could help with some Bibles. And the board decided we would look into it and we could find something out about him. And we've sent him $500, and we've already voted to send him $500 more when we heard about him. And we've got some pictures that Tom has just received, and Denise is Denise, imagine. Denise is going to fix up the bulletin board. Have those pictures on there. Thank you, Denise. Amen. Have them on there how that he's preaching and giving out the Bible, several pictures. How they said to us, and how that God is moving, and has sent a letter along with him, how God is blessing the calls out church, sent $500 for Bibles, and we've already voted to send $500 more. Listen closely. I thank God for every dollar that has been given for the Word of God to reach the lost around the world. Thank you, church. Amen, amen. Thank you, church. We don't have any rewards to give. We don't have any special things to give out for your faithfulness. But I want you to know the record is being kept in heaven. And God has a record of everything you've done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And no need will go unrewarded. Our God will see to that. Amen, amen. Thank you, church. And then finally, I mentioned this morning from the 24th chapter of Matthew, about the signs of the end time. And the same conversation that Jesus had with the disciples is found in Luke and also in the book of Mark. And Luke said, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I realize these words were written for the Jews now. We might discuss this in Bible study. But in the 13th chapter of Mark, and in the 21st chapter of Luke, and in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the signs of the end, Jesus talking to Jews. And no doubt, these promises are primarily to Jews. And he says, look up, lift up your head. And he's talking to the Jews, and he says, about the very elect. If they will stay true to God, he's talking about elect in the tribulation period. If they will obey God, if they will serve God, if they turn their lives over to God and make it all the way through, he tells them what is in store for them. But I believe it's good for us as well. Maybe not in the setting of the 24th chapter or the 21st chapter of Luke, but thank God it's there. These end time prophecies, and I'm going to close, they're being fulfilled. I really enjoyed the Bible study Wednesday night. I have been privileged to get out some Bible, some prophecies that I've read over, and I was amazed at the things that were underlined in God's plan for man and the revelation by Dake and some of the other books that I've read in years past. But the prophecies are being fulfilled, and we're living in the last days. Paul's words in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, or the resurrection chapter, are about to be realized. The trumpet's about to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. They're going to come forth from the graves, and there's going to be a transformation. I preach this morning, and be not conformed to this world. I've come up with another word. Don't be conformed. Be informed so you can be transformed. How do you like that? Don't conform. Be informed about God. And then be transformed. And he says, in that 15th chapter, there's going to be a transformation. And then there's going to be a translation. There's going to be a catching out. We're going to be called out to be with the Lord. And I'm going to close by just mentioning three or four things with one line each. And we're just going to thank God for His blessings. Looking up. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I'm looking up. I'm looking unto Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm looking unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Like Abraham, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, how about you? I'm looking unto Jesus. I will close and we will pray. Some things have happened in my lifetime that I do not understand why. I mentioned a man by the name of Paget Robinson, one of the leading men in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, superintendent of one of the largest conferences, a good conference, one of the assistant general superintendents, outstanding man, went hunting with one of his preacher friends and suffocated and died. Didn't have proper ventilation in the trailer that they were in, and the heater that they had sucked all the oxygen out and he died. I have a hard time understanding some things. If he'd have lived, I would have voted for him to be the next bishop of the church. Outstanding man. Some things have come in your life and my life that I don't understand. I don't know why God allows some things to happen. I don't have the answer. But one thing I know, He's a good God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I'll turn my eyes upon Jesus when everything is falling apart around about. Evil is rampant. Sin and violence is everywhere. I'm going to look to Him. I was told this morning not to say something from the pulpit anymore. About my neighbors out there. A lady asked me not to say anymore, so I'm not going to say it. But I want to just leave this way. Folks, the closer you get to the end of the journey, the one that is all important is Him. When you're young, you feel like you've got forever to live. You're invincible. Nothing can happen. But when you've lived out your life pretty well, you're getting down to the end of the journey. You thank God for your friends. You thank God for your family. You thank God for the church. But you have your eyes on Him. And if I have anything to leave tonight, in your heart and in your mind, and we're going to sing a chorus, honey, come on. Remember this. He'll be there when all else is gone. When everyone else is doing their thing, and you're alone, He'll be there. Look unto Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Look to Jesus. I can't say that strongly enough. I can't emphasize that as much as I want to right now, but things are winding down. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Will you stand with me? God bless you, church. I thank God for every one of you.